The opinions expressed on the following audio program are solely those of the host and the guests. Byrna Podcast is an independently produced, not-for-profit show and is not associated with the Burning Man organization or its subsidiaries. The views expressed are not representative of the entire Burning Man community and are presented here for entertainment purposes only. In short, calm the fuck down. It's just a podcast.
Hey, it's episode number 114.5, and it is 20 days till the virtual man burns as of this recording. I've been saying there's a virtual man burning. We're going to get to the bottom of that for sure today. It could be that the man is really burning in all of our hearts, or it could just be heartburn, which is why I always keep Tums accessible in my Burning Man go bag. And boy, does it feel freaking weird this time of year not to be running around in a last-minute panic right now, packing. It has been said many times, even on this show, that huge, huge event held outside of Gerlach is a physical manifestation of Burning Man, but that Burning Man does live inside all of us. And the year 2020 was like, oh yeah? Hold my beer. So on today's mini episode, you did hear that right. It is number 114.5. It is a half show. We're going to give some quick background on the virtual burn and BRCVR, Black Rock City Virtual Reality, which is one of the multiple ways that you can experience Burning Man in 2020. So there's going to be a bunch of information about all that. And on today's mini episode, I am recording remotely. This is the first time ever on this show, unprecedented. There will be no DJ set after today's chat, and it'll be we're gonna kind of plow through and get some information out to you guys. So you can virtually panic and pack your stuff and go to a virtual burn. We felt that it was very important to make sure to get this information out to you. Today's episode is entitled Dispatch from BRC VR. I go by Mr. Arash, even though nobody calls me Mr. Welcome to Burner Podcast. Welcome all. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much, Athena, for putting this together and being an amazing contributing producer on today's episode. The last time we had you on, Athena, it was episode number 28 of this show. That's how long ago it was. And it was without a doubt one of the most memorable interviews that I've ever had. And in that one, you announced officially that you were stepping down as LA's regional burn after like 20 years. So I want to know how you ended up getting sucked back into this. With us, of course, is also the co-founders of BRCVR. We have Doug Jacobson and Greg Edwards. And I'm just going to have the three of you introduce yourselves real quick so that the listeners can associate a name with a voice. And then I want to know, Athena, what's been going on with you since the last time that we connected. And let's get into today's chat. Doug, why don't we start with you?
My name is Doug Jacobson. I'm a old school burner. My first year was 98. And I've been doing documentaries and camp leadership. My main camp read lately has been the Black Rock Yearbook, where we shoot yearbook photos and make a yearbook every year, which is well represented in our BRCVR. And And yeah, and there's a whole crazy story how this all came about, but I'll push it over to Greg to introduce himself.
I do want to eventually get all of these crazy stories. So Doug, when a COVID lockdown ends, we should for sure have a whole history of the yearbook episode.
Oh yeah. No, I was meaning how the PRC VR came about, but we can talk about how the yearbook came about.
Yeah, no, we'll do that. We'll do all of those. Greg.
I'd say mid-school burner. My first year was 2014. Kind of jumped into the community around 2013, and I've been working in virtual reality since 2013, and started having these crazy ideas about amazing VR experiences, and did a project for Coachella. And at that same time I was doing that, I met with Athena, and I hadn't gone to Burning Man before, but I thought this would be an amazing VR experience, and met up with Athena and said, hey, would this be a really interesting thing to get people to be able to come back home? And we went, okay, we have something. So I told everybody I was going to make VR Burning Man without going there. And everybody chuckled, going, yeah, right. There's no way you can build the whole thing and make this happen. And I showed up and took pictures of every square inch, every art piece, and rebuilt it. And that was 2014. So that catches up to that part.
Nuts. So, okay, we're going to come back and get into all of that history in just a second here. I do want to know, Athena, obviously we have to catch the listeners up real quick on what you've been up to and where you've been and how you've ended up getting pulled back in.
Yeah, so I tried to retire. I did. I actually had I announced in 2016 or 15 officially ended my leadership duties in 2017 for the LA regional organization. Handed over the board keys and the organization and everything and found people. It took a year and a half. And I would be like, okay, now I'm gonna do board elections. And then we'd bring somebody on and I'd teach them how to do that. And okay, it's time to organize DCOM. Okay, it's time to do these newbie orientations. And then new leadership would come in. And then they quickly figured out, they were like, geez, Athena, you do way too much. And something like 10 or 12 people came on to take on all the stuff that I was doing. And then I sold my house and all my belongings, and I went off to South America. And I've been wandering around Latin America for 2 years. And I'm still in Latin America. I'm in Mexico. And I have no plans on coming back to the United States anytime soon. And most of the world is shut down. So I'm just going to stay here in my little corner of paradise. I got sucked back in. So I happened to be working with Greg in 2015 on what we called virtual Burning Man at the time. And we showed it to Burning Man and they loved it. But they just didn't see its purpose. And we called it an archival tool. It was a single user type of experience. It wasn't social VR. Technology, it was like 5 years ago and the VR technology hadn't gotten to what it is today. So it really needed today. And I was in Panama at the tribal gathering earlier this year when these two guys decided to put it up on AltSpace. And I think I had gotten out of the tribal gathering by then, but I was trapped at the last festival on Earth.
I guess it's not the worst place to be trapped for a little bit.
It actually wasn't, no. I mean, the military made it scary because they were all surrounding us with guns and we were just a whole bunch of mushroom-loving hippies.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't need the guns. But yeah, I got back to civilization on the second to the last flight out of Panama before the borders closed. Found myself safely in Mexico and right before certain cities closed down.
Yeah.
And then I get a message from Greg telling me that they put it up on AltSpace and that the virtual Burning Man was live.
Wow.
And then later, Maid Marian canceled Burning Man.
Yeah. Yeah, we obviously also need to do an episode where we can like connect these two gaps, because obviously you had a bunch of great adventures and I want to hear all of those stories.
That's a long episode.
Yeah. Don't worry. We'll do the longer one later. Okay. But Greg and Doug, where did you two meet?
Greg came in. Greg's kind of camped with us at Yearbook, and he's been in our camp before. And so what happened was, I remembered that Greg had a special camera that scanned places called a Matterport camera, scans houses for real estate and stuff. That you can walk through a house that you were looking to buy, mm-hmm. and I saw someone had uploaded that to Altspace, and I said, "Oh, I gotta get one of these." So I called Greg and I said, "Kid, do you have anything I could test to put up on Altspace?" He gave me a world, like something he scanned at the brewery downtown, and then he said, "Why don't you try my Rayman world and see if that works up there?" And that's how it all sort of started randomly. But we've known each other since 2014, I think. About he's been in the scene now here in LA for a while.
Yeah,
I met Athena in 2001.
I think it was 2001. Yeah, I started burning in 99.
Yeah,
and I missed 2000. It was my grandmother's 80th birthday. I had to, and it was Labor Day weekend. I had to do that. And then 2001, I went back, and I believe that's when I met you, Doug.
Yeah, through Otto. And that's a whole other episode. So
I don't actually think we can put most of that on.
No, we can't do that episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, we all been really humming along. Everyone sort of fell into their lanes, and it's quite a lot of avalanche of stuff coming at us, and we're trying not to make any of us be what Athena was at LA DCOM, so that there's no overloading. But it's we'd rather be spread the overload across all the people.
Right.
Actually, it's been great because I'm very good at taking on more than I should, and everyone on the team, especially Greg and Doug, have been really good at like, no, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
No, we'll find somebody else to do that. And just delegation has been great. And the whole team, like we have this amazing group of burners that have just jumped on to, and even people that have never been to Burning Man, have like jumped on to make BRC VR happen. It's incredible. But some of the original people I produced LADCOM with originally back in 2002 when we started it, they've come onto this project. And, you know, different people that I've worked with from different types of event production, they've all jumped on. And then even within, you know, Greg and his 3D modelers and just the people that have come on board from various different aspects of all of our lives, it's the most amazing burner project I have ever worked on. I can truly say that.
Excellent. Well, let's dive into that. When the announcement was made that there would be a virtual burn this year, correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding was that, or at least that was made in the announcement, was that the org really had no idea what it was going to look like. They were really opening it up to the community and saying, like, what can this look like? It was almost like the digital equivalent of what the org does as far as laying out the streets and the grid and saying, like, all right, come build some shit. So tell me about sort of what was going on in that time period from your angle, Athena, Greg, Doug, whoever wants to chime in on this.
So what time period, like the very beginning, like around March, April?
Yeah, April 10th is when Marion announced that the burn was not going to happen.
Yeah, first we went through the crushing disappointment, and then they said virtual burn, and then of course all the burners were like, huh. And then,
well, we had this going, and Athena started, we started calling Burning Man.
So
yeah, it was so, like they announced, and like the very next week, was it? I sent a message to Burning Man and to several different departments. I just like sent it out, and I was like, hey, we have this. It's, remember 2015? We had it then. We still have this. It's up. It's social VR. It's already working. And I finally got Diver Dave, and he was getting ready to get on a call with a whole bunch of other people from the board and from tech and whatever to kind of discuss, like, well, they announced it's going to be virtual, but they don't know what it's going to be. And they brought me in on the call. And I was like, hey, we got this thing. We'd love to show it to you. And they had other ideas. And there was, you know, it was throwing, like throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what was going to stick.
Yeah.
And then, you know, part of that group went off and did their own thing. And we kept doing our thing. And then there were all these other groups doing their things that we didn't know about. And then finally I got through to somebody and I was like, hey, you can't just let us all do whatever we want because we're using your IP.
Yeah.
And there needs to be some form of IP agreement or you're going to lose your IP. And then they realized like they needed to have a bit more control. And through this entire process, they've realized every step of the way, they're like, oh, we should be a little bit more involved. But we should probably be a little bit more involved. Yeah. We should probably have a presence in all the worlds.
Yeah. That's interesting. So at first, they were sort of like, everybody was running with it. They were saying, you know, do what you're going to do. So you would say like in the past, it's true, because I've definitely noticed from our angle that the communications coming out of the org had like ramped up. At first, there was a lot of confusion of like, what is happening? What is this virtual burn thing? You know, I think one of the reasons that we're even doing this show, like doing like so far down to the wire, 20 days before the virtual man burning, kind of, if you will, is that it's been, the communication has been kind of building up. And also a lot of like language has been coming out of the org about like, how is Burning Man going to continue as far as funding, you know, the donation button being like a major thing on there now instead of buying tickets. Tell me a little bit about sort of like how you've been observing that part of the dialogue developing. Do you think the org for a while was a lot more focused on finances and then now shifted and realized that this could be a part of it? What is your observation as you've been developing?
Doug, you want to take this one?
I think, you know, Burning Man has an existential crisis in a sense because of the situation that they're in, and everybody really wants Burning Man to survive and thrive. And we don't want these multiverses to distract from their ability to create a survival mechanism and fundraise and get the word out. And we don't want confusion between what we're trying to do and fundraise for our little project and then the bigger project. So I think as they started getting more clarity on what they needed to do to survive and then how the multiverses could fit into that, they started getting more comfortable with it. But it's been, nobody's been here before. None of us have been here before. So we're all stumbling through the process. All the multiverses and Burning Man were like, you know, oh yeah. You know, like Athena was saying, you know, maybe Play Info should be there. You know, maybe these departments should be there. Maybe how are we going to indoctrinate people into the world? How are they going to know what the 10 principles are? How are they going to know what Burning Man stands for? You know, we got to make sure we put the right messaging up in the world and tell people what it's about. And I think Burning Man and all of us have been sort of learning as we go, you know, how we're going to do this. And so we're really trying to give space to Burning Man to do what they need to do because they're the mothership, you know, and yeah. We need them to be around next year.
Yeah, and that's excellent that you pointed out sort of like the difference between the different fundraising that's going on. So let's get into what Burning Man 2020 is going to look like for those of us on the end user. And as we go through this process, I'm going to kind of dissect and ask questions to get more and more details on every little part of it in the background and what it looks like to attend BRCVR.
Well, so, I think you've got to slice that up into platform. Like it's all about, what are you going to be on? Are you going to be on a phone? Are you going to be on a computer? Are you going to be on a web browser? Are you going to be in VR? And if you slice it up that way, you can find an experience that's best suited for you. And we defined what our experience was early on and what wasn't. And we're not going to be on the phone and we're not going to, you know, we're not going to be the most crowded multiverse. We're not going to, you know, if you want to go around and see the biggest collection of Twitch streams, DJs and stuff, that, you know, we're going to have a lot of great DJs and a lot of great parties, but we're social VR. You're at a club talking to people. And listening to great music, but it's not, you know, and watching great art, but we're definitely a VR social first experience. And we've stuck to that, and you know, and but there's a lot of other great experiences that you can get. There's maybe one other, two other VR experiences too. We haven't seen them.
So one of the things
that we've been trying to do with our experience is we're not approaching it as a piece of software or as an app. It's a digital representation of Burning Man, but not in just look, but in how it's built. Like, so the community wants to be able to build their own artwork, build their own experiences, and in developing that, we've been trying to like train, make all these different tool sets available. We've been having a lot of classes to teach people, you know, the transition of, you know, using a hammer and nails and zip ties and tie down straps and rebar. Well, the digital app, you know, the digital equivalent app is this and that. And, you know, nobody builds their camp from nothing. They buy a lot of stuff from, you know, the Walmart right outside of Reno. And we're kind of trying to give people those kind of tools to build their experience that'll last on. So it's, and also we're, our whole production schedule is geared towards harnessing the magic of Build Week.
Yeah.
Where so much of the magic that's built is just before the burn and during the burn. You know, we are live, and by live we can be changed throughout the week. You can go into a theme camp one day and come back the next day and somebody's added more stuff there that didn't, you know, that was a reference from what happened the day before. That's trying to make sure that this is a very fluid, changing, organic living experience.
Yeah, Greg made a toolkit that sort of democratized people being able to make their own camps. And because of the way the VR works, we have a big playa, but everyone can go and make their own little mini worlds. And those worlds can be higher res. So you could make the camp you hung out at. You could grab his toolkit and you could just assemble the camp and throw it up there yourself. You know, radical self-reliance. So there's going to be a lot of random camps that we had nothing to do with just going up there. If we had tried to put it all on one playa as a unified thing, we would be like, give us your camps, we're throwing it on there. You know, it would just be a nightmare to manage all those camps and what they wanted. If we got it wrong, we'd be taking phone calls, trying to fix everything. So I think we're trying to let people do their own thing in their own camps. Mm-hmm. So you have worlds, we call them in.
So the main playa is like a map. It is to scale, 100% to scale Black Rock City. And everything on it is, I don't even know how this file can be so small. Greg made this tiny little file, but everything that is the playa and every building there and everything that's there is in this file that allows the most number of people to be participating on the main playa. So you will walk up to an art installation or an art car, say like you walk up to the Mayan Warrior art car, and you see it and it's sort of a low poly version, a lower res version. And in front of it is a portal. Now this looks just like a Star Trek portal. It's a blue tube and there's lines. And I mean, it looks like beam me up, Scotty. And you walk into that portal and it takes you to the Mayan Warrior world. And this is a high-res version of the art car, and there's lasers and fire tools and music and people dancing, and you can fly around, and they got a spaceship in the sky. Like, it's nuts. And all the art and theme camps and art cars are like that. So you wander around the playa, and you come upon a portal, and it's in front of Pink Heart or Disorient or Marshmallow Camp, or Playa Info, or the Embassy of Burning Man Information, or whatever, Helios, you know, and we have certain artists that are building worlds with all their art in it. There are artists like Arthur Momomani, which was the first artist to present in BRCVR, and he has a 2020 piece, an honorarium called Catharsis, but he built the temple, Galaxia, in 2018. Galaxia is gone, yeah. It burned. But it exists and it sits on the playa right next to Catharsis. So you go to Catharsis at 6 o'clock in D, right behind Center Camp, and there it is, this huge, beautiful piece that has never been built. and you go into the portal in front of it, and it takes you to Catharsis World, which is like Arthur Momamani World, and Galaxia is there with Catharsis. And so that's the beauty of this platform, is like Greg Fleischman can have all of his pieces there. David Best can have all of his pieces there. Kate Roddenbush can have all of her pieces there. All these pieces that no longer exist anymore can exist. Kate, she said the most beautiful sentiment when she said that, you know, you work so hard at making this piece and you bring it to the playa and you get it set up, and right about the time you can breathe, you burn it. Yeah. And you don't get to spend any time with your art. And having it rebuilt in digital and VR, now she gets to enjoy her art. And we're build only. There's no tear down, there's no strike, there's no burn. If there is a burn, you can burn it every night because it's digital, and it just you can burn it tomorrow, and then you can burn it the next.
I will also admit that, you know, we're especially Athena and I, Athena's first year was 99, mine was 98, we're a little bit, it's not like we went last year and then suddenly got it and then decided this is what we're going to go with. We're a little nostalgic for some pieces that we used to know back in the day. So it, rather than, we're not just focusing on 2020, there's some of that, but we're actually kind of wanting to go back and get like those pieces we loved from our past that are long gone, that we remember, that are pretty cool. So we've gone, we found some of those, and hopefully those will be appearing on Playa too. So it's going to be a mixed Playa of multiple years of stuff, you know, stuff that we remember fondly that we wanted to go get, mixed with some 2020 new stuff. But and that's just the styles of all the multiverses. You know, some of them are focusing a lot on the new stuff. Some of them are focusing on a fantasy version of it. And we're kind of going a little bit nostalgia because we just are feeling a little nostalgic this year for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really feeling nostalgic.
A lot of it is based off of like the first year, the first year of 2014. And then we've just been building from that point on.
I think
there's a lot of 2014 art already in it, but then there's 16 and 17, 18, 19.
Yeah. I think the year 2020 has definitely made a lot of us more nostalgic. I've been going back.
It is. It's like comfort food, you know? Yeah, it's like when we go back, we want to say, oh, there's the
I've gone
Trojan back. Horse. I remember the Trojan horse. Let's get the Trojan horse back, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Which is it. A really good example of nostalgia. It's like, yeah, I've been working on this since 2015, and then, you know, pretty hard this summer. And I've been spending most of my days looking at polygons and pixels in 3D files, you know. And that's when I jump into the world. That's a lot of what I see. And everybody comes to me going, you know, like, oh, this is nostalgia. This reminds me. And I haven't experienced that until one of the camps, Airport Camp, built their airport world, and I hadn't seen it before, and I jumped in, and I completely forgot it was digital, and I was reminded of my first year when a camp buddy of mine sacrificed an entire day to hang out with me at airport just to get to know him because he thought I was a cool guy, and we sat at airport all Thursday, and that's the connection. It's like, okay, now I get what everybody else is getting. And it was unexpectedly powerful. And that happened a couple of days ago. So there's something to it. There is something really powerful to it.
Yeah. It's a year of looking back and remembering, you know, in a lot of ways. And so we're trying to, we're feeling that, and we're going for that in a big way.
Absolutely. So. Yeah.
The art has been look real on Playa, on the main space. Look like something real, like you don't have, you know, a spaceship can't floating in the air because that would break the reality. You know, nostalgia there, but then when you go into another camp, think future, think of what we could do, what we could be, you know, think forward is kind of that balancing between the two.
We're keeping the Playa, the main Playa, realistic physics.
Other than flying.
But I mean, like, there's no camp in the clouds you know, realistic to Playa. But then once you go into your world, you can make it a spaceship or whatever you want.
Yeah. What you're describing sounds like if I'm walking around this, it'd be as if I took like a digital psychedelic. And every time I walked into a new camp, I'm fully embracing and like the energy of this camp and the walls are moving and the things. But then I walk back out and I'm like, oh, I'm on the street again.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And the nostalgia trip won't play for everybody because I think it's frozen.
Now you're good.
People that are new to Burning Man, it'll all be new to them anyway. And the people that aren't new to Burning Man will be new to VR, and they'll have the, it's so funny, we all use this word, they'll have the normalcy of Playa. You'll recognize Playa, you'll have the, like, normal, really?
Yeah.
The emotional attachment to the Playa, you'll have that visceral response, and the connection. But yeah, you go into another world and it's like walking into a theme camp. You walk into Steampunk Saloon and it's like you're in this whole other world, and you're meeting people and you're talking to people and you're dancing to the really good DJs and having a cocktail. And then when you leave and you go back out onto the Playa, it's like, where was I?
Yeah.
And it's out of necessity, because we created these portals because we had to. Because right. We have to split up the audience because of how VR functions, the technology, it actually ended up working out in our favor.
Yeah. Because that VR, is what each camp is trying to do energetically, is to create this whole different experience for you, and now they are.
Yeah, VR is such an animal that we spend a lot of time working within the constraints of where VR is right now, and with, you know, thinking about it and working on it. And that's why we had to focus on VR first. There's a 2D Mac and Windows version you can get too, which is cool, but it's not like strapping on a headset. And so we've been thinking in VR constantly. It's not like we're going to be on, on your computer screen and our phone and your tablet. Oh, and VR. VR is consuming all of our time, 100% of our brain. I can't imagine being a third app in the list. It's like, so hopefully it'll pay off.
Super cool. So let's get a, what's that sound? You guys hearing a sound there?
Yeah.
Okay. I went. So let's go through this kind of step by step as from the user end, as a participant. I am, let's pretend like me. I'm in San Diego. I want to get my virtual burn experience this year. I've been hearing all this stuff about virtual burn, but then I'm confused. Like, there's BRC VR, there's this, there's the Second Life one. So I go to Burning Man org's website, and they have a list of all these different places. And you were saying earlier, Doug, that I can now make a decision based on sort of like how I want to experience it, whether on my phone, my computer, et cetera, et cetera. It kind of conceptualized for me what that experience looks like. Do I have to buy a ticket first?
Okay, all right. There's 8 multiverses. My understanding is that 5 of the 8 are charging for the experience.
Okay.
3 of those 5 are going to band together and have 1 ticket for all 3. And we're free, and some other ones are free.
Okay.
If you're on your phone, there's a couple of experiences that are probably going to be really great looking. You can walk around on your phone and go up to DJs and hear their Twitch stream and stuff. So if you're on your phone, there's going to be some great there. I know that.
I think we're losing you a little bit there.
Oh yeah, I'm losing. How am I unstable? Am I back?
You're back.
Yeah. So weird. I have a Ethernet connection too. Well, Athena, you take it since I'm fuzzing out.
Wow, that's actually it's really crazy that. I am Mexico. Better internet. So there's 8 universes. There's actually 7 universes. There's one standalone that's the temple. So the temple is the 8th. And there's these Playa magic little bits. And I have to bring this up because the temple was designed quite a while ago, and it's based on the number 8. It's when you look down on it, it looks like a compass. There's eight spires coming off of it. On the sides of each spires, there are these octagons. It's based on the number eight. And if you turn the eight sideways, it's the infinity symbol. And when you think of multiverses, there's an infinite number of multiverses, and there happens to be eight virtual options for this year's burn. Mm. Eight recognized universes of the Burning Man multiverse.
Okay. Yeah. And those, and anybody can link to any of those. They go to the org's website. They're all listed there.
Yeah. So you go to kindling.burningman.org/multiverse. And that will take you to a page that will tell you all about each one. And like Doug said, some you have to pay for, some you don't. Ours is 100% free. We live on the AltSpace platform, and you can come and play right now. We have been open and available for people to come play in the digital dust since April 3rd.
Nice.
People can come right now, and you can do it on a headset or on your PC. There's not a Mac client available yet. They are working on one, and it will hopefully, fingers crossed, be ready before Gates on August 30th. But you can put Windows on your Mac by using Bootcamp, because all you need is Windows 10 to load AltSpace onto your computer and see it in 2D. But I don't want to recommend that. Like, you can do it on your computer if that's how you need to do it. But our recommendation is get a headset. And a headset will cost you about the same amount of money as a Burning Man ticket. There, you know, if you go with the Oculus Quest, which is what I have and it's my preference, it was $399. And I highly recommend, if you're going to get one sooner rather than later, because they take a while to get mailed to you. And there's the whole onboarding of it. You have to get it set up, and then once it's set up and you've figured out its functionality, then you have to load AltSpace onto it, and then you have to figure out the functionality of AltSpace and get a username and build your avatar and dress your avatar, and you can constantly change your avatar's outfits, which I like to do because I like changing my outfits, and then you come to BRCVR, and that's a whole other process. Like, you have to find it in the featured page, and then it's going to be an event for the week of the burn. And so there's so much in AltSpace that you can explore besides just burn week, besides just the burner camps. There's a lot in AltSpace, and there's a lot to do and a lot of activities and meditations and talks and games to play. And then just in the Oculus, so separate the AltSpace app and you get into Oculus, oh my God, there's like a massive world in there. So while I say it's the same cost as a Burning Man ticket, it gives you as much mental stimuli, if not more.
Yeah, that's why we recognized early on that we're not gonna be able to be like, hey everybody, surprise, here it is, Burn Week. So what we've been doing is taking an opposite approach to that, which is open, it's happening now, people are already partying in there, and we give tours to people, and then they give tours to their friends, and people get their friends to get headsets, and it's been spiraling. So now people we gave tours to, we're seeing them give five other people a tour, showing them how to fly and all that stuff. So. And that that level of echoing forward has been paying off for us, because if we had held it close and then revealed it, we would have had all that happening at once and would have been difficult. So it's, yeah, go ahead.
And we have no thoughts of closing. Mm. So for us, Burn Week is a little bit of a beta test. I mean, we're beta testing now and we're pushing the boundaries of the platform. And then we have Burn Week, and then we have September 7th. And I call September 7th day one. It's day one of year-round playa. We have always wanted year-round playa. Everyone who has ever gone to Burning Man has come home wanting the experience again. That's why DCOM season exists. That's why regional events exist, because we all want that feeling again. And now we get that feeling 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not going away.
That's amazing. Is there the question, is there going to be a man burn?
Yes.
Okay, is that happening like every day, or is it happening on
just once?
It is going to happen on September 5th,
okay,
when the man is supposed to burn. But we just found out that Burning Man's getting ready to launch a burn at home type of thing, where they're going to give you a packet and you build a little like 1 foot man, whatever, and you record yourself burning it and put it up on their, they're going to have some sort of platform called the Portal. And so because we're all in different time zones, they're going to do it at 9 o'clock at night in every time zone. So kind of like New Year's, as it goes across the playa or goes across the globe, this is going to be our man burn across the global playa. And so every hour there's going to be these man burns. So we just found this out today. So this is going to roll out. And so we need to figure out how we're going to do it. Are we going to do our man burn once? Are we going to do it every hour and people can just come in, and we could do it every hour.
Yeah.
Figure out for ourselves what we want to do.
Yeah. We have a team working on this project, but we've never done it before. So we'll see. Maybe we'll have a burn. Maybe we will not. I don't know. We're trying.
Yeah, no, everything you're saying, Doug, it's very much like that at, you know, the physical reality burn as well. I mean, like,
exactly. We have no
take
idea.
A bunch of shit out there. I take my tools. I have my wood. I hope it goes up in time.
Have a burn.
Yeah.
Or worst case, BRCBR will make a little 1 foot thing in my backyard or someone's backyard. We'll just burn it on. We'll put it up on the screen. And that's our fallback position. Yeah.
So I can conceptualize this for me a little bit as a non-VR user. I have a good friend who actually works in VR, and he had been telling me for a long time that that VR feeling with the Oculus Rift, it feels so powerful that if you have like a fear of heights, like he'll watch people literally not be able to step forward if they're looking down at like being on a high rise. So is that how real?
That's the difference.
The quoties.
Yeah. Now the graphics, you know, where we're at in the evolution of VR, the graphics are at a certain spot, but you could see two generations of VR headsets. You
know, well, it's not so much the graphics, it's we're going for the headsets that most people have. I mean, that's essentially, you're strapping an Android phone on your head and, you know, try to run PlayStation 5 graphics on a phone, it just won't work. And that's why this project is done so well, is because developed it 5 years ago to work on phones that existed 5 years ago for like the Google Cardboard. So it was already optimized and ready to go for the social VR experience. So it was already ready and designed in the correct way right out of the gate. When I messaged Doug on April 3rd, hey, I think I've got Burning Man in a hard drive in my closet. Let me spool it up and let's see if it'll work. And the level of like the connection, this whole project just gets layers after layers after layers. Like I think it was 2 or 3 days after we uploaded it and we jumped in, and then other people that we didn't even know jumped in going, oh yeah, this is Burning Man. This is what it looks like. And people say, no, this is what it feels like. And then, so jumped off, I started going to LinkedIn, go, all right, I need to find some kind of alt space producer to talk all the tech things. Finally found one, got on a Zoom call to ask, like, all right, this alt space thing, how does it work? What can we do? What can we get away with? The exact moment that I was on that call, the head of alt space had found it randomly because they were thinking of doing something for Burning Man. And then they see a BRCBR or a Black Rock City and they jumped in and went, wow, somebody's already done this. Wow. The exact moment I'm on the phone with one of the producers, the head of AltSpace sent us an email going, oh my God, what is this and how can we help? And it goes even further than that.
AltSpace way is a bunch of burners, as it turns out, randomly. When we got AltSpace, I didn't know that, but it of course, Silicon Valley, you know, of course, it's going to be burners there. But they've been really great.
Yeah, that's
Greg is a mobile.
Amazing. And they are a bunch of burners.
Yeah, and Greg is, you know, expert in mobile optimization, and this is mobile optimization.
And my whole VR career has been trying to figure out how to fit large scale expanses into a small VR headset. You know, that's,
it just turned out perfect.
6 years.
Right. If we were trying to take like an Unreal Engine and jam it into this VR thing, it would be like,
No, it wouldn't work. So my dream was with this project was to have all the regionals participate, and we're starting to get them contacting us, which is great because you have this like spiritual connection. You have all these regionals all over the world and all these regional events, and they're connected to Burning Man. They're connected to Burning Man, quote fingers, but you can actually connect them. So we can build a regional event like Flipside or Bequinox or Soak or Burning Seed or Dragon Burn, or I can just keep naming them. And they can exist in their own universe, their own world, and have portals to all their theme camps and all their art installations in their world. And they can have a portal on the main playa that represents their region. Therefore, people can come to Burning Man, to the main playa, to Black Rock City, and then portal to Burning Seed, portal to Dragon Burn, portal to Bequinox. So year round, as all these regional events would be happening, they can happen.
Disappeared. Can we hear Athena? We lost you for a second there. Hello. Can I hear anybody?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Testing? Okay.
Athena, we just lost that big dramatic ending to your sentence.
Oh, so we can have a physical connection, a bits and bytes connection between Burning Man, the organization, the mothership, and all the baby ships, all the regionals that exist all over the world. And we're already starting to get contacted from regional events that are like, hey, can our entire event exist like this? And we're like, yes, contact us after Burn Week. We can't do it right now. And we'll show you how.
Amazing. And then as I'm walking around in this virtual world, can I like turn to my left and see another participant and have a conversation with them?
Yeah, more than a conversation with them. I mean, you can go to like, we're having all sorts of interesting interactive objects and camps and all, like, I'm drawing a total blank, but I know we've spent probably 20-30 hours just in the process of bar hopping from theme camp to theme camp in large groups. Yeah. And it's just, it's, you forget real quickly that they're cartoony avatars.
I spent 4 hours Friday night. Huh. 4 hours. I didn't even realize I had been in VR for 4 hours. That's the problem with plugging in your headset.
Yeah.
Their battery, and you don't have to plug them in. But if you plug them in, you're going to be in there a long time. Yeah, and we were just going from world to world to world together, as you would, just like you would on fly. And you hang out in a place for a while, then somebody's like, hey, let's go here. And then we all squirrel over there and get distracted. And what's that over there? And we all go over there. And it really is that playa experience. You do some activity and you meet people. I met a guy standing near Center Camp. We were just I met him at Helios. Hmm. And then he hadn't seen Main Playa. So I was like, let's go to Main Playa. So we go to Main Playa. We walk over to Center Camp. We're talking. And I'm telling him, you know, everything because I talk a lot. So I'm talking about Burning Man because that's like my entire life and brain and soul. And then I said, what do you do? And he says, well, I don't know anything about Burning Man, but I write satient programs. He writes AI.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And then he starts telling me about what he does. And I'm just like, so interested. Yeah. But that's the Burning Man experience. When you're on the playa and you meet somebody and you don't know anything about them at all. And they're super interesting and fascinating. And then they tell you this incredible thing that they do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always been what I've always shared is my favorite part of Burning Man is like, after I get the energy out, I do all the dancing, I do all the partying, I get it out of my system. The stuff I remember is being on some dark bar on some like quiet street somewhere in the distance. And I get into a conversation with a college professor from Czechoslovakia. And like, and that's the memory I come back with. And I remember more than, you know, the dancing is like, I needed that to get the energy out. But then like, that was the thing that I got out of it, the download. Yeah, that's really, really amazing. And I feel like the magic of with a lot of what you've created here is the physical and financial limitations that so many people have about getting to Black Rock City in the physical world. We are finally in a place with technology and the way that the world has evolved and the way it has for us to go in this direction with creating VR so that people can make those human connections that we're, you know, Athena and I are always geeking out about these things, but it's making it even more accessible to more burners out there who may not be in a position to pack and fly from the other side of the world to the United States and go into Black Rock City in the physical world. I feel like that's the most amazing gift that has come out of this experience.
Yeah, you only need a headset. Yeah. You don't need the ticket, your headset, and $1,000 worth of stuff and an expensive plane ticket or driving anywhere between 8, 12, 16, 20. You know, I think about the Florida burners or the New York burners. They like all the way across the country. The Florida burners, you do it diagonal. Like, and that's just like a long drive. And you know, you think about that. And then the burners that are coming from Europe or from China or Australia, and there are burners there that have never made it to the main event because it's just too much of a long haul. They do the regional event and they're burners, and that's their mecca. And now this is an opportunity for everybody to come and experience the main event that happens in the Nevada desert. Only it's going to happen virtually in the headset with a whole bunch of people from all over the world all at the same time within their own time zones.
That's amazing. Guys, thank you so much. Is there anything we've left out? I feel like we've given a pretty good snapshot of what to experience.
There's one more thing I really need to say.
We've left a lot out. You're right, Greg.
there's like hours worth of stuff.
Hours and hours worth of stuff. But I do need to say we need everyone's help. This is a labor of love, and we're all working really hard to make this happen for everyone. But we do have hard expenses. And so we're asking people to make financial donations of whatever they possibly can to help us get this over the finish line. So go to brcvr.org, and there's a donate button. And we would really, really appreciate all your help and your contributions to get us over that finish line and those hard expenses that we need. And also at the bottom of our page, there's a donate button to Burning Man. We need the mothership to survive. We need Burning Man to survive in order for the event to hopefully happen in 2021, probably happen in 2022, but it needs to survive, and it's in a financial strife right now, as we are as well, as everyone is. So please contribute whatever you can to the survival of BRCVR and the survival of Burning Man Project.
No, thank you. Excellently said, Athena. Thank you so much for that. Greg, Doug, any final words before we take off?
Doug?
Oh, thank you, Greg. All I'm going to say is what I'm looking forward to most is just hanging out with my friends and going and meeting new people and checking out cool art, which is pretty much all I care about, like to Playa. And hearing some good music along the way. But mostly it's about like all of us doing stuff together. And where did he go? I lost him. I lost him on Playa. Where is he? You know, the same conversation. We always laugh when we're having the same conversations we're having on Playa. So, you know, this is a time when everyone's isolated a little bit in their houses. And I feel that this is the moment for VR. This is the moment for VR's purpose. Mm. You know, it was a lot about AR for a while. And there's a lot of energy being put into AR, but now this is really exemplified that community connection that you need when you're a little bit isolated. So I'm looking forward to it. And it's going to be messy. And it's going to be, who knows what happens.
To take on with Doug, like, yeah, the VR industry was just brutal 5 years ago. It was supposed to be the next big thing, and then gone. Like, nobody talked about it. That's, I left VR and jumped into AR, and now it is the moment, but it's also my own selfish reasons. I want the burn. I miss the burn. And I really wanted to engage in, and help artists create. And I want to see how they'll push the limits and the boundaries of creativity and programming. I really want to see what they'll come up with. And that's a big part of what's been moving forward. I want to see what others create because I want to be inspired when I come out of this as well. So that's my motivation. And that's this project for me.
It's amazing. Everything that you're all describing has really hammered in foam for me. How perfect our community and this experience and this event is for the forward momentum of VR and for this experience and everything that's happening in 2020. Like, it's amazing how perfectly all of this is lined up and synchronized. So we are exactly where we need to be. Thank you all so much for all of the energy and love and attention you've put into this. Thank you so much for sitting with me here and getting me caught up. I really, really appreciate this experience. I think that a lot of our listeners are gonna get a much more clear idea of what to expect. And I'm really excited about seeing how it all develops. I'm literally, this conversation today sold me on, all right, I'm gonna go buy that headset. So at the very least, we got one guy.
The four of us will be, maybe just be the four of us in there. Who knows? So
the next interview we do can be in VR.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm into that. Yeah. I'm into seeing where that all goes. That's amazing. Thank you all so much. Thank you for all that you do for the community. Thank you for everything. I can't thank you enough. This has been amazing. And I hope to see you out there in the digital dust.
You too. Thank you.
You in the digital dust. Bye.
burnerpodcast.com.